It's 7 p.m.
The following takes place between 7 and 8.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron of Florida Estates Winery. Wine enthusiasts can call us at any time during the broadcast by dialing 646-727-3235. Once again, the number is 646-727-3235. Wine industry representatives are also encouraged to join us on air.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Mike Brown, the Wine Growers Association of Georgia.
And the executive director.
Michelle Meyer, I work with my father, Les Meyer, at Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Westport Rivers Vineyard and Winery.
We're located at 417 Vicksburg Road, Westport, Mass., and our phone number is 508.
I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Grape Growers Association.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people on, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bus people, thank you. Bus people are here, but Mike isn't. All right, that's the left. Something about those bus people shutting them up sooner. Bus people, thanks. We have bus people tonight. We do not have Mike with us tonight. Mike is occupied. Actually, he's working. We all have our jobs. Mike has his. Mike works for Busch Gardens here in Tampa. So, which is cool. Cool job. And then obviously I work at the winery. But Mike is busy tonight. Halloween is a big, big deal for him. So he's not going to be with us tonight. But he said he will listen to the program. So, Mike, if you're listening to the program, hey. We have a guest tonight. We're still in Ohio. We have ourselves a guest tonight from Ohio. We've been going an hour and a half on the programs. I can almost guarantee it's not going to last that long tonight. We only have the one guest. We're going to stay in the central part of Ohio in a little triangle outside of Columbus, Cincinnati, down in that area there on the eastern part of the state. And so we're going to be talking to them a little bit. There's going to be a little bit of dead air while I go out and call them in, too. I hope I know what I'm doing calling them in on this. This is the first time I've done this on this new switchboard, so I hope it works all right. But after we finish the guest, and our guest tonight is going to be Lisa from Mary Family Winery. She will be joining us, and possibly her husband, if he's available and free, he may be jumping in there also and joining us. We hope so. And then I've got just tidbits of information, depends on when we, how long Mary wants to talk. And Mary, if you're listening, you can talk for as long as you want. Then I've got a little bit tidbits of information I'm going to pass on to you, just, you know, different things. And, I just got to being served a glass of wine. Fantastic. That's the only way to do this show. Oh, I got a Carmenere, a South American Chilean Carmenere, actually. And I also some information I'm going to pass on. The program tonight is Champagne Styles. We're getting closer to the holidays here, so I'm going to start throwing out a little bit of information on champagne. It's not just for a fancy occasion. It's not just for midnight on New Year's Eve. It is something you can have and should have often. Champagne is, or any of the other derivatives of champagne, it's not just called champagne, but different names throughout the world. Champagne is the classic champagne from the Champagne region of France. But I'll pass on a few different styles and stuff tonight on that, plus some other bits of information for you. But first, we have ourselves a guest. Our guest is from, Mary Family Winery. And she's supposed to be waiting for me to give her a call. So I am going to leave you guys for a minute here. Don't run away. Don't leave. Don't think the show's over. It's not. I'm just going to go out and make a phone call, and I will be back in hopefully less than a minute. So hang in there, and I'll be right back hopefully with Lisa.
Prairie Family Winery. Hello?
Lisa.
Ain't nobody there. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Lisa? You there? Just a second. And we are there. You still with me? Nope, you're there. You're in hold. Now are you with me?
I'm here.
Fantastic. All right. Listeners, this is Lisa from Mary Family Winery. She is, and her husband actually are the owners and the everythings of the winery. Lisa, tell us about Mary Family Winery.
Oh, goodness. Mary Family Winery is a family-owned winery located in rural Gallia County. We are owned and operated by my husband and myself, and a lot of times during harvest season, we are able to get some of the other family members to help with that. Free labor is always good.
Always.
With
yes,
the harvesting. And sometimes the pruning. So, but it's busy, and we enjoy it, though.
What, you say other family members, that sisters, brothers, or children?
That's brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews.
Oh.
Yeah.
So big family
friends,
lives all around there.
Sometimes the friends and sometimes customers help just for the experience of it.
Customers love to work in wineries. They really do.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not so much. We don't usually have other people help in the winery part just because, you know, that's a little more delicate. Part of the operation, but in the harvesting in the vineyard, we recruit other folks to help us.
Oh, fantastic! How long have you been there? How long? How old is the winery?
Oh goodness, we opened in 2006, but our vines were planted in 2001.
Oh wow. So these are your vineyards?
We grow eight different varieties of grapes. We have some Cabernet Sauvignon. We have some Riesling. We just planted some Frontenac in May. So we're excited about that. That's something different for us that we thought we would try. And we'll be planting some additional vines in May. The University of Minnesota's come out with a muscadine hybrid that we're interested in trying. So the the vines have been ordered, and we're going to give those a try.
What is the muscadine hybrid?
Muscadine. It's traditionally a southern grape.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. What is the hybrid? What is it?
It is developed by the University of Minnesota, and it's supposed to be cold hardy and appropriate for our area, the hybrid that they've done. So,
what, they have a name for it?
You know, I don't have that in front of me.
But it's supposed to be cold hardy and all that. That's unusual.
Yeah,
the muscadines usually are not real,
right?
Real
They're
cold hardy.
Delicate. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
they like
that
southern climate.
Yeah. Huh. Have you seen it? Is it a large grape? Have you tasted it? Is it sweet? What is it? Do you know anything about it?
No, not a lot. It's of course very similar to the grape that, you know, is traditionally grown, the traditional muscadine. You know, very similar, and is my understanding in leaf size and fruit size and that sort of thing. And that's a yellow grape. Or white grape. The difference is with the hybrid is that it has the cold hardiness that the traditional muscadine lacks.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that they were doing that. We've talked to different places. I think you're the first that I've heard of that's getting that in and putting it in the ground.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think 400. We ordered 450 plants.
Wow.
That are going to be shipped to us in May. So it's a little ways off, but that's something upcoming that we're excited about.
Yeah, this sounds interesting. You said eight different. You mentioned Cabsauv, Riesling, Frontenac. What else?
Frontenac. We've got some Native American varieties as well. We've got some, of course, the traditional grapes, Concord, Niagara, Catawba, those staple grapes that do so well here in Ohio in our location.
Then
we also have some Himrod. And
what is that?
Himrod.
I don't think I've heard of that. What?
Again, I think that's another American, Native American variety.
Oh, is it? Oh, I don't think I've ever heard of that one. Huh.
Yeah.
We've talked about grapes on the program before, too, and that's a new one to me.
So we have a little selection of different things.
How many acres of each do you have?
Oh, goodness.
Rows or whatever.
We have about 4.5 acres total.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
So you have yourself, you know, quite a diversity.
And each one varies. I'm sorry?
You have quite a diversity of the rows then. I mean, different ones.
Right, right. We do.
Are you in an AVA there where you're located? Are you part of the Ohio Valley AVA?
Well, we are located in the Ohio River Valley. We are right close to the river, actually, right here in the Ohio River Valley.
Are you that close?
To the river? Yeah.
Yeah.
We are minutes from the river. We are right along. The building itself's not right on the river, but we are 10 minutes out from the river.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were that close to the river.
To the Ohio River, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are right on the West Virginia-Ohio border. The county we're in Gallia County. We are right across the river from Mason County, West Virginia.
So Point Pleasant in West Virginia,
yes.
Or is that in Ohio?
Point Pleasant's in West Virginia, excuse me. They're right across the river. It's maybe 12 minutes drive from the winery into Point Pleasant.
Okay, I thought you were further away than that. That's
No. We're close. In fact, I grew up in Mason County, West Virginia. Not in Point Pleasant, but more out in the country. But,
Mason
20
County
minutes from
Airport.
Point Pleasant. I'm sorry?
The Mason County Airport.
Yeah, that's the other direction from where was raised.
Oh, I see.
But, that's up the river.
Up the river,
We would call that up the river, where I'm from.
So where are the grapevines? Are they on hills? Are they overlooking?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
They're out in the country. They're on a hillside. We have red clay and yellow clay is what we have. That's our soil. And they love it. The grapes love
that. Do
they
really? Yeah.
They do.
How thick is the clay there?
It's red. You know how red clay is, but it's a blend.
Oh, yeah,
red clay, when you're walking in the vineyard, if it's, weather's been like it has, it sticks to your boots. And you can get stuck and lose a boot, actually, if you're not careful.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I was born and raised in Missouri, and so I'm familiar with clay.
Yeah.
It seems to permeate all throughout that part of the country.
Right.
So the soil, basically, how far down before you start getting into anything besides clay then? I mean, how far down are these roots reaching?
Oh, gosh. Now, that I cannot answer. That is not a question for me. That's a question for my husband.
I'm sorry. I told you earlier I was going to try to put you on the spot, and I answered that question.
as far as the root depth, I honestly am not sure. That would be a question for him. That's his area.
That's his area's expertise.
That's his area, yeah.
I was just wondering how deep the clay is there, and basically what I was curious about, I think, more than anything, because...
Oh, significantly deep.
Is it? Really? That?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's the weather? Winter, summer, highs, lows, all that. What are you getting in that area then?
Oh, goodness, it varies. This year's been very wet, so we've gotten a lot of rain. Temps... You know, they vary, 80s to 90s. We have had hotter, you know, we have had warmer summers than that. We have a lot of humidity here in our area. Like today, actually it started out rather warm in the morning, but then we had a cold front that pushed through and it got significantly colder. So I think right now... The temperature is like 40 to 50, somewhere along in there. I don't have my phone in front of me, but it was warmer this morning. It was probably in the 60s, and then it got significantly cooler throughout the day. So
that's the same cold front that's supposed to be heading down here to us.
Probably.
And hopefully it hits us because it's going to move that... tropical storm or hurricane or whatever it is right at the moment, Rena,
mm-hmm.
away from us. So
mm-hmm.
we welcome that front.
Yeah, according to my iPhone, it's 43 degrees right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
outside,
substantially
so.
Cooler, yeah. Well, yeah, your winter lows then, you must blow freezing for extended periods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can. We have, yes.
Then how are you able to grow that cabs off?
The rootstock is a graft.
Ah.
With a Native American variety, so it has the cold hardy.
It's not affecting the plants themselves, so you don't get cold enough for extended period long enough to really affect the plant itself then.
Right, no, we haven't had any problem with that. They have done great. Not that we haven't lost one or two vines here and there. You know, we did have, you know, a couple wet spots that we had to deal with. So, but aside from that, no, the grafts that we have with those Riesling and the Cabsov have been great. So, we're very happy with that. They're
wow.
grafted with, I think, both the Riesling and the Cab is grafted, I think, with a Concord rootstock.
Oh,
so.
You're using Concord root. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're fine here for our area.
Oh, very good.
And then the
Frontenac,
of course, is another variety from University of Minnesota. So,
right.
You know, we just planted it in May, so the Frontenac's new for us. So, but it's supposed to be extremely cold hardy.
I've talked to a couple other wineries there that have planted the Frontenac, and they're
mm-hmm.
They're very happy with it. They
we're excited. Like I said, we just planted it in May, and so it's new. But
are you planning on making a rider wine out of that alone?
Absolutely.
Or are you
yeah, absolutely. We will. It's supposed to produce a nice heavy red, so we're excited about that.
That's what the other wineries are saying. They
mm-hmm.
use it also for coloring. They said it just
mm-hmm.
really is a nice
yes,
wine.
Yes, it has a nice deep color. It's supposed to. Again, they're new for us, but, you know, the information that we got from the nursery. So it sounds wonderful. So we're excited for that to get some age on it and you know, then to the time when we can, you know, get our first harvest off of it, so.
Well, sounds interesting. It sounds like a lot of fun. What
mm-hmm.
when are you getting bud break in your area there?
Oh gosh, it varies from year to year, but this year, at one of the vineyards, we had bud break really early, and then at one of our other vineyard, it was later. So, bud break was. Like April, probably late April.
So you still got possible
for one vineyard,
late
and then the other vineyard, it was much later than that. So
I'm sorry. By late April, you still have possibilities of a late frost then.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, and we have had a couple years ago, we had two late frosts. We had one early on, and it kind of got some of us, but not too bad. And then 3 weeks later, when we had another one, and then so that year we did not have a good harvest. And that was 2008, I want to say.
Huh.
So.
The, you said the other vineyard. You got two vineyards in.
Yeah, the out of that 4 acres, we have a couple acres at one site and then a couple acres at another site.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of broken up into two separate spots. And then now with the Frontenac, the Frontenac is here on site at the winery.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, what happened was we started out at one location, we outgrew it, and then we moved into the current location in October of 2009. So we've only been at this current location since October 2009. So 2 years.
So the current location is the Amish Crafted Barn.
Yes. That's correct. It used to be Joel Evans Grist Mill. Bob Evans, the restaurant entrepreneur, built the building for his wife, Joel, and she had a grist mill in the building.
Oh, that's too cool.
Yeah, it's a great building. It's a very, very nice building. Built in 1984, and it was built by Amish and Mennonite craftsmen, and it was built by hand. No power tools were used to build the building, aside from the saw that cut the actual oak logs to make the big beams. But past that, the actual, you know, putting the building up, it was all done by hand tools.
Wow, that's quite a building.
Not power. Yeah.
Your website has pictures of it, and it is really quite a building to be done by hand.
It's very lovely. Yeah, it's pin and mortise. So
wow.
It's very nice.
It looks like a gorgeous building. And harvest is
it varies.
Is when?
It varies from year to year. This year we started at the end of August for harvest.
That's pretty early.
Yeah, so it varies. I mean, you know, this summer they were ready. And then, you know, the different varieties, we have like a week to a 2 week span between different varieties getting ripe. So we kind of have like some time in between to recoup and refresh before the next batch
and find more people
ready
to work with you.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. Get the crew together again, so to speak.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Once people do it once, they go, oh, I'm glad that's over. But I worked at a winery, and then you can't get them again. you use stainless steel or oak?
We use stainless steel.
Stainless steel? Yeah.
Yes, we use stainless steel.
Very little oak then, I take it, if any.
I'm sorry?
You don't use any oak at all?
No, we do not. Now, when the Frontenac matures, we will be putting those in some oak. But we haven't decided what variety. We're still looking at that and seeing what is going to be the best type, whether, you know, American or Hungarian or what's going to be the best. So we're still kind of researching that.
Let me throw out a suggestion to you here. Not that I use it, but I've heard a lot of wineries talk about Minnesota oak now. I'm just giving some good reviews to the Minnesota oak.
Okay. Definitely we'll keep that.
You know, you might check that out.
Since we have vines from Minnesota,
yeah,
we can stick with some barrels from there.
Finish it up that way. Yeah, a lot of we've talked to quite a few that are using Minnesota oak. They've used Missouri and Arkansas oak. They've used Texas oak, but they said that this one guy said that Minnesota oak he's found to be the best coming out of the United States right now.
Wonderful.
So,
okay, I will definitely write that down, and definitely we will keep that in mind.
Just as a suggestion for you.
Yes,
you know,
we appreciate
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Your wines. Let's talk a little bit about your wine. You have quite a variety of wines.
Yes, we do.
I mean, fruit wines and you know, all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
You have four reds, but I noticed a Pinot Noir.
The Pinot Noir, we purchased the grapes.
From?
It, you know, it varies. You know, we get emails from different, different, I guess, brokers, maybe is what you would call them. And,
growers,
and,
brokers, yeah, all sorts of.
Yeah, them. So we get different emails, and, sweetheart, will you? And what happens is we kind of look at, okay, who seems to have the best harvest this year, you know, looking at, you know, the information we get about the grapes themselves and the conditions and such. So then, you know, that's how we make our selection.
Most of them coming from the East Coast, or are you buying all the way from the West Coast?
Since we've had the Pinot, I will tell you that most of it so far has come from the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Not for any particular reason, but
just that you found those to be, you know,
right,
your liking.
Right,
yeah.
They seem to work for us. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not finding
but
a whole lot.
But we're open.
Of
I mean, you know, each year we're open to, you know.
I'm not finding a whole lot of wineries that are growing Pinot in the East anyway. I mean, you know, the
mm-hmm.
ones that do don't have a bunch of extra anyway.
Right.
Kylie, is it made with
Kylie.
Merlot grapes?
Our wines are named after nieces and nephews. So Kylie is a niece, and yes, that is a Merlot.
Again, you buy that from other
we
sources?
We actually have that.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You have Merlot grapes planted?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Enough to come out with a Kylie every year then, or Kaylee.
Right. Well, of course, you know, always depends on harvest conditions. So,
right,
you
yeah.
know.
And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say it's a dry.
Yes. Medium bodied. You know, some of our vines are still relatively young as far as numbers go. So medium bodied. Has a berry, has a hint of berry to it. It's very tasty, in my opinion.
It sounds like it. It sounds like, it, you know, you get that fruity Merlots with the good Merlot mm-hmm. characteristics. It's always really mm-hmm. nice. Notice all of your wines, too, are right around 12% in your reds. You don't bring up the
yes.
alcohol a lot.
No, we don't. We
Valley Girls.
12 is a good number for us, so.
And, you know, that's actually where all my wines are, except for my
mm-hmm.
port. All my wines are right at 12, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Valley Girls, you say it's a sweet red wine. What's the grape on that?
It is a sweet red wine. What we do is normally we have a Gallia County Concord, and what happened was, you know, the frost. We had some issues with the frost, so the volume that we needed, because it's a very popular, the Gallia County Concord is a very popular wine here by the locals that follow us. So what happened was we, you know, harvest wasn't, you know, what we needed it to be for, you know, because of the frost. So we came up with the Valley Girls. It's a blend of our Concord from our vineyard and a Concord from another vineyard. And
oh.
so, you know, it's not 100% Gallia County. So what we did was we came up with Valley Girls to, you know, to give the customers what they were looking for and in a Concord grape wine. But with it not being 100% Gallia County, we came up with the Valley Girl label. So
uh-huh.
that's kind of the story on Valley Girl. And Valley Girls, I'm a nurse manager. I'm a retired nurse manager now, but I'm a nurse manager. So I worked at a hospital in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and it's called Pleasant Valley. So that is kind of – the Valley Girls is kind of to honor my nurses. That
sort of all falls in together.
Yeah, so that's Valley Girls. It's kind of in honor of my nursing staff. Yeah.
And I'm
I only
sure
had,
they love
which, I only had two guys in my whole staff. So, Yeah, it's kind of honoring the girls, not the guys so much, but hopefully they understood.
Yeah, and that they, I'm sure they love the wine, too. You know, that, you know. Shelby, is that black cherries added mm-hmm. to the Pinot Noir?
Right, right. Real fruit. We use some real fruit. And it, yes, it is.
And same thing with the Autumn Black, that's sweet blackberries added to your Merlot?
Absolutely, right.
All right, fantastic blend.
Yes.
Well,
you know, we felt like we needed to offer folks something a little different that they just couldn't walk in the local Walmart and pick up. So we played around with some different recipes, and, you know, it's just those were the ones that were the favorites of the family.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we ended up. Those are the ones we selected to produce commercially.
Oh, so the and the blueberry, that the sweet blueberry, is that the
mm-hmm. very heavy. I'm actually sold out of that, but we actually got the blueberries from Michigan.
Oh, and, Michigan blueberries. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was very good. Nice, heavy, but soft on the mouth. It was delicious. You got that blueberry flavor right up front, and it was very well received.
At Blueberry Wines, there's a winery down local to us here that does three styles of blueberry. They
uh-huh.
do a sweet, a medium, and a dry. And
uh-huh.
Really interesting. I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I every year I get a call from a couple of blueberry growers who say, do you want to make a blueberry wine? I have a bunch of them. And, you know, I just, no, thank you. I just, yeah.
Well, we actually were very fortunate this summer. We got a lead on a Ohio blueberry grower. So we're hoping that this upcoming season we'll be able to have an Ohio blueberry. So we're excited about that. There's a little place called Itty Bitty Fruit Farm. And so we're hoping to connect with Itty Bitty and come up with a Ohio blueberry. So that should be really good.
Yeah. Rachel Rosé, I noticed, is a blend with a white Zin. Or are you getting with strawberry and white Zin? The white Zin's coming out of where?
You know what? To be honest, off the top of my head, I am not sure. That's another question for Tim.
Okay. And the strawberries are Ohio?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We have, right here in Gallia County, we are kind of surrounded by Amish folks.
Oh.
And so they grow an abundance of vegetables and fruits. So we're very fortunate in that respect.
Oh, that is obviously they built the building you're in all that. So that's really your
right. Well, that was actually before they really started getting into our area more prominently. So now we have a really several large sects of Amish folks in our area. It's growing.
Traditional Amish, no electricity, no cars, no.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, we have Mennonites as well, which they're a little more, you know, they allow themselves to have, you know, a little more luxuries, but we have a lot of Amish. Yeah.
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 Bad Kitty. It's an orange sangria.
Correct, yeah.
We just put this whole thing, just throw it in a big pot and blend everything, or do you do it,
it's a blend
do you do it
of,
during fermentation, or what do you do on
it's,
this?
It's a blend of red and white grapes, and then citrus fruits.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah. And it just works. It's real popular. I think a lot of people like the name.
I
think that they're drawn to it initially because of the name, and then the taste. It gives you an orange on the finish.
Sounds like my orange wine. I make an orange wine, which is a blend of Florida grapes and oranges, and I blend it together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you pick orange on the finish.
Right.
So it comes out.
Yeah.
The Miranda Sweet, cranberries, and Shiraz. The Shiraz, I'm sure, comes out of state again, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Janet Smedley is a sweet red raspberry. Where do the raspberries come from? That's also blended with the white Zin. But where are the raspberries?
Wherever we can get them.
Really?
So it varies. Yeah, it varies. You know, if we've got a good, you know, initially we grew some red raspberries, but they, you know, we just didn't get the good quantity that we needed, you know, from ours that we were growing personally. So then we started purchasing them because initially it wasn't an issue because, you know, we were just getting started and so we really didn't have to have the big volume. And now that, you know, we're growing and you know, it's become a very popular, one of our more popular wines.
Really,
so, you know, we've had to, you know, we've required more and more berries. So we just, you know, the best deal we can get and the, you know, whoever has the best fruit, if we have good luck with somebody, then definitely we go back to that same, you know, group the following year. Hey, what's your crop like? You know, is it going to be a good year for you?
What's your cost this year?
Yeah, exactly. What's the cost? And that's always, you know, you like to get really good fruit, but cost is always
always there.
Yeah, it's always a factor.
I do have to mention, though, to the listeners here, that you have a little line on this Janet's Medley that says, also very good over Breyer's Oreo cookie ice cream.
Yes.
That just sounds so fascinating.
Yeah.
Really.
Just, you know, put your little frozen ice cream cup with maybe a scoop or two of the Breyer's Oreo and then drizzle a little bit of this on top. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. It sounds like it.
Yeah, it's very good. The Janet's Medley, the red raspberry, is very good paired up with dark chocolate. It's amazing paired up with dark chocolate. It tastes like you're drinking a chocolate-covered cherry.
Yeah, I have one like that, too.
It.
I know. That's great. That is,
yeah.
That is fantastic.
It's delicious. And it is named after my mother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And, yes, and it is actually one of my favorite wines that we make here at the winery.
Oh. The pomegranate and white Zin called Shaddix Sweet.
Hanika
with kiwi.
Uh-huh. Anika is our dog. That's her registered name.
Uh-huh.
We call her Nikki, and that wine is named after her.
Where's the kiwi? Obviously not from Ohio.
No, definitely not. Again, it's just whoever we can get it from. Sometimes the Ohio Wine Association will send out emails like, you know, okay, this company has an excess of this fruit and they're wanting this much money. You know, we get emails from different, you know, different folks. So, what we do is we sort through and we stick with the people, you know, that we've had good success with, and we try to get local if we can. You know, sometimes you can't. So.
Yeah. The last one is a Liberty Apple, which, you know, apple wines are always delicious. The white wines, the Bridget, the Chardonnay grape. Again, obviously, are getting that in. You don't have any Chardonnay grapes?
No, I don't. Yeah,
okay.
No, we don't.
Same thing with the Danielle, which is a Gewurztraminer. Jordan, I noticed this, too. It says a dry white wine with lemon, lime, and tropical fruit. What is the...
It's Riesling. It's just...
Riesling?
That's how it grows, and that's just the flavor we get.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like our Catawba grape. I don't know if you saw Sweet Granny on the list. That's a Catawba grape. And the soil here makes it taste like a Granny Smith apple.
Oh, wow.
The soil and climate. And traditionally, Catawba doesn't taste that way. But
no, it
for
doesn't.
Some reason, the way that it grows here in our soil and climate, it gives it a Granny Smith flavor.
Oh.
So it's very, yeah.
That sounds interesting on that.
Yeah.
And then the Catawba grapes also used in the Chardon, is it pronounced?
Chardon. And yes, what we do is we make the Sweet Granny's like a semi-sweet. We wanted our native varieties to be a little different than what you could go and get at every other Ohio winery. So we do a dry Catawba, and that's what Chardon is. And the best way to describe that is like Osti without the bubbles. If you've
You've
tasted Osti, and that's one of our favorite. It's one of my favorite dry wines, and use it a lot for drinking, and then use it a lot for cooking as well. So it's pretty versatile.
And then we got. No, go right ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. It's okay.
No, I just want to say we got a couple more here that I do want to mention. Is the Galia Niagara.
The Niagara, yeah, that's our Gallia County Niagara.
And then
we do it in a semi-sweet.
And the last one you say, ultra-sweet Riesling. Is that
it's like a late harvest.
I just want to ask now, okay.
Yeah, it's a late harvest.
And so obviously you're picking up very high bricks.
Yes, like in the 60s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting list of wines there. You know, really quite a variety. I mean, particularly considering that two of you run it and you have all those wines. Usually it's you don't put that many on the list if you're the only ones that are doing it. You know.
Well, you know, we are open 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. So, you know, we start early in the morning. We start before we open. You know, usually like the morning routine is, you know, my husband's up early by 7 o'clock. He's, you know, in the winery doing his thing. Usually Nikki and I run we do a 3-mile run. Then we come back, get cleaned up, and then we start helping in the winery. Or I start helping. We say Nikki helps too, but she basically she's a supervisor.
Is Nikki sitting here in the picture on the wine list? Is that Nikki?
That's Nikki, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Nikki looks like she would be in charge.
Yes, she is. Anyway, we're small. You know, last year we produced 2,000 cases. This year is most likely going to be 4,000 by the end of the year when we tally everything up, just, you know, based on the numbers so far. And so we're growing a little bit. And, we stay busy. Don't get me wrong.
Double production from last year, that's not growing a little bit. That's growing a lot. one more question, Lisa, before I have you give all the information about the winery. Your local state government, good, bad, indifferent, you wish they dropped dead, you're happy and you can hug them. What's your opinion of the local government?
You know, we have been very fortunate. We haven't had any issues. Our liquor control agents have been great. You know, they've worked with us. We've had, from the time we've been open since 2006, we've had 3 different agents, so they've kind of switched out on us a couple of different times.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been lucky. We've gotten guys that have been great to work with. So, you know, I can't complain about the actual agents themselves. You know, our regulations sometimes in Ohio aren't ones that we always agree with, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. We have to have rules. We have them for a reason. Somewhere along the line, somebody's done something stupid to cause the rule to be developed to begin with. So, we just work with them. We work with the Ohio Wine Association. And, you know, the things that we can get changed, we try to work on that. The things that we can't, we, you know, deal with it and go on.
Yeah, that's all right. You are familiar with H.R. 1161, aren't you?
House Rule 11.
House of Representatives Bill 1161.
Refresh my memory on which one that is.
It's called the CARE Act. It's basically a bill before the House of Representatives to well, to stop small wineries, small breweries, and small distilleries from shipping?
Oh, you know, we, like in Ohio, we just have been able to ship outside of our state just for maybe a year now, going on 2 years. So, you know,
well,
the whole
to,
shipping thing.
You need to be aware of 1161, if because that could even stop that. So,
yeah.
HR 1161. You can,
we'll
you can look it up.
That.
Search it up. It is well worth your time to search it up.
Definitely will.
Your information about the winery for all the listeners out there. Oh, one other question: are you open throughout the winter?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you?
We do close for 2 weeks at, early in January, at the beginning of January, just to kind of take care of all the state and federal paperwork and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm familiar
you know,
with that.
If you work on that, you know it can be pretty cumbersome.
I do, and I know, yeah.
So, well, aside from that, we are open Tuesday through Saturday from 10:30 a.m. until 8 p.m., and we do close that first 2 weeks of January, but aside from that, we're open year-round, yes.
Tell us more about the winery and the email address and location, all that stuff, so any listeners out there want to get a hold of you.
Oh, sure.
Facebook, address, any of that stuff.
Absolutely. 2376 State Route 850, located here in Bidwell, Ohio. And our phone number is 740-245-9463. That spells, it's 245-WINE is what it spells.
Cool.
And our website is www.maryfamilywinery.com, and you can email us at maryfamilywinery@wildblue.net. We are on Facebook. You can friend us. It's Mary Family Winery, and our picture is like a little wine glass with our name on it is our little picture on Facebook. So, but we would love to have your audience stop in and see us. And let us know that they heard us on the radio, and hopefully they've enjoyed my rambling.
No, I'm sure they have. It has been very informative.
This is not what I do every day, so hopefully they'll understand that, you know, a little bit nervous and that kind of thing. So
actually, you did great. There's nothing to worry about at all. You sound like a professional. I forgot what I was going to ask now. We were talking about how good you were, and I forgot what's going to ask. Well, thank you for joining us.
Next time
I'm in that area there, I will definitely try to make a trip over to and visit you.
Please stop
and
in, absolutely.
If you're ever in Florida, stop by the winery down here. Love to see you down here also.
Wonderful.
And best of luck to you, and we'll... pass the word on to anybody we see about Mary Family Winery.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay, she is gone. We are finished with Lisa. That was great. That she was very informed too. She had a lot of stuff to say. Great list of wines. They do a lot of blending, unbelievable amount of blending on their wines. Considering what they have in a vineyard, they spend a lot of time bringing stuff in, and they were talking about the paperwork and everything that they had to do at the end of the year. Probably a lot of that paperwork is trying to account for everything they bring in and all that, because there are all sorts of crazy rules for that stuff here, I guarantee you. Actually, Lisa talked a lot longer than I expect her to tonight, which is cool. Don't mind that at all. It was an enjoyable visit with her, and so we did have a good time. But we still have a few minutes, about 10 minutes left here. A couple things I want to mention. I did mention I was going to tell you a little bit about champagne. If I don't get to that tonight, we'll do it next week. We will stay in Ohio next week. I'm going to head up to the northern areas of Ohio. Ohio's got a whole bunch of wineries up in the northern part of the state, and we haven't really touched on all those yet. That will be our next week, and maybe our final week in Ohio. I don't know. We'll see how many people would like to be on the program with us. If we get three or four of them on there, we may stretch it out over a couple of weeks. But We're going to go up to the northern part of Ohio, which there's quite a few wineries up in that area there. I've gotten quite a few visitors from Ohio at the winery down here in the last couple of weeks, by the way, too, which I thought was really cool and interesting considering that's the state I'm talking about. A few things I just wanted to hit on you with, just a bit of information in the last few minutes we have here. Like I say, we're going to end this at 8 o'clock tonight instead of 8:30. We've been going to 8:30 lately because of all our speakers. Glad we didn't have a second speaker tonight because Lisa did such a good job on it. Again, thank you, Lisa. You did a wonderful job. I want to bring up a couple of things here, just FYI, just things for you out there. American Airlines is bringing a PET bottle, that is the plastic bottles, onto the airlines. They're going to be the first carrier to have bottled wine on the airplanes. It's made out of plastic. It's going to be a 1 liter bottle. It's going to be made especially from North American airline industry, and it's really going to help the cost because airlines are, every time it takes off, the weight of taking off and everything makes a difference. That's why you get charged an arm and a leg whenever you fly for your baggage and all that. But it's mimics glass, same shape and all that, but it helps fuel savings on the airplane over glass. The weight is a fraction of what it is for glass. Air Transit, a charter airline in Montreal, which is one of Canada's largest charter airlines, adopted use of the 1 liter PET bottle for sustainability advantages, and they've been using it for quite some time now. Air Transit reported that the wine container has been received by all travelers and will be expanded to all its service soon here. It's bottle shaped exactly like all the others, only it's in 1 liter. The weight is, like I say, is really low compared to using bottles. And it's also thin. It's only 100 NM. I'm reading the words here. I'm not sure what it is. But very transparent and resists cracking, abrasions, and any problems like that. So it's a new thing that's be coming out. We may see some of our enjoyable wines on airplanes instead of having to have the little cocktail or the little glass of soda. Another thing, vacation season, the traveler's drink choice. This is a newest survey of what people drink when they're out, when they travel. Number one, wine. Yay! Since we're all about wine, it's always nice to see that up there at number one. Number two is beer. Three is spirits or mixed drinks. Four, wine coolers. And five, hard cider. This was a survey done through September. But it's showing that wine is continuously growing in the market and continuously growing around the world in a lot of areas, and traveler's choice of drinking and stuff. It's very popular. Total wine sales by brand, total still wine by brand. I'm not going to give you the dollar amounts because it just makes us see how much money we're spending on this. Number one, Barefoot Winery. Two, Sutter Home. Three, Yellowtail. Four, Franzia Box. Five, Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Six, KJ Vintners Reserve. Seven, Behringer. Eight, Carlo Rossi. Nine, Gallo Family Vineyards. And 10, Livingston Cellars. So most of the names we're familiar with, most of the names we know, these are the ones that are actually leading the market. Barefoot has a 4.7 market share, Sutter Home 4.2, Yellowtail 3.6, and it goes down from there. Barefoot has went up 30.1% from last year on their sales, a phenomenal sell. The dollar sales for just the 10 wines and others, the total category in still wine sales is $6,211,000,000. We are spending lots of money on wine, and that's good. It means it's growing. It's becoming very popular. Another item, wine in a pouch. St. Helena, California introduced the Climber Pouch. It's a new wine package that is portable. The ultralight design is shatterproof, flexible, and making a good choice for transporting outdoors. One Climber Pouch holds the equivalent of 2 750-milliliter bottles, so two of the standard size bottles. So it's rather large. It's resealable. One-way plastic spout keeps it open, wine fresh for up to a month in the refrigerator. The Climber Pouch wines also include an oak Chardonnay sourced from Northern California's Delta region, a Cabernet Sauvignon along California's central coast. Cliff Family Winery Climber Pouch wines are available in California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Texas, North Carolina, Florida, New York, Vermont, Ohio, South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee. And they're selling, the price for 1.5-liter pouch is only $16.99. So that breaks down to about $8.50 a bottle of wine. So if it's if you're looking for something that's light, portable, you can carry with you and all that, there you go. Decanter bottle. They've made a new decanter bottle that is a double thing, a weird-shaped bottle. It's a wine bottle that acts as a decanter without the need for any type of mechanism. It's a pinched-in bottom of the wine, traps the sediments and impurities at the bottom, and then you can pour it without getting sediments. It's like the base of a bottle, and then it's pinched in, and then the bottle starts again. So as you're tilting it, the sediments will catch at the bottom below that pinch. A good idea, a nice design. It may work. Who knows? Always coming up with new innovations and stuff like that. U.S. market per capita consumption of alcohol. Americans drink more wine, this article says. The U.S. surpassed France as the world's largest wine-consuming nation in 2010, according to the Wine Institute. Wine industry consultants Gomberg, Fredrickson, and Associates in Woodside, California, report a record high of 330 million cases for the industry, up 2% from 2009. Total French consumption was 320.6 million cases in 2010. Wine consumption is still a low 2.6 gallons per capita, but the adult population is growing every year as eco boomers come of age and adopt wine just as their baby boomer parents did. Eco boomers are the 20-somethings, are the Y generation, I guess you would call them, even the X generation, that age there is your echo boomer. So wine has, we are now drinking more wine than California does per capita. Wow. Or than France, rather. I'm sorry, France does per capita. So that's quite something. Almost 8 o'clock. I'm going to quit this show at 8 o'clock tonight. And I said I was going to talk about champagne stalls. That's a teaser. In the business, that's what we call get you back next week. So I'm not going to talk about it tonight. I will bring it up next week, talk about champagne styles and blends, the sweetness levels and aging and stuff like that. Things coming up for the holidays here, things that you might want to know and you might need to know. So we have a festival coming up this Saturday. Florida State's Winery has one. I say we. Before I get into that, a couple, three things. Number one, join us on Facebook, All About Wine BTR. That's Blog Talk Radio, All About Wine BTR. Become a fan on Facebook. I don't flood it. I don't throw a whole bunch of stuff in there and make comments here and there and stuff like that. But love to hear from you. Love to have you comment back and stuff like that. So join us on Facebook. Email address for All About Wine is allaboutwine101@gmail.com, G as in letter G, gmail.com, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Email me. Have any questions? Have any suggestions? Have any suggestions for a program? Have any suggestions on things you'd like to cover? Anything like that, I'll be more than happy to search it out and try to get on a program. If you have any suggestions for speakers or anything like that, let me know. I'll make the phone calls and I'll see if we can't get them on the program. It's you know, the program is fun for me. I have learned so much doing this, but actually I'm doing it, like I say, because I'm trying to make wine less intimidating, more user-friendly, and show you that all this other stuff is just a really lot of fun stuff to know and to talk about and to learn about. So if you have anything that you want me to cover, I will be happy to cover it for you. I've gotten emails from people before, and I tried to I've listened to them and tried to put it in practice. So let me know if you have it. allaboutwine101@gmail.com or Facebook at allaboutwinebtr on Facebook. Florida State Winery, we are having ourselves a festival this weekend. I was on a radio program. They interviewed me on the radio Tuesday morning. So we have a little bit of radio back each for us on the event here. The Wine Fest, I'll be back in a little over a minute here. Here's our promo for it.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-10113 or email corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
There we go. If you heard static on that, I'm getting a lot of static on this end. If you heard static on that, drop me an email and let me know. We're going to have to work on that. I think we're getting too much static on that. I don't know if it's just because we're generating it or if it's going out over the airwaves like that. But if you are getting static on it, email me, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. I'd like to know if that thing's acting up out there. I want to give you a clear tune on that. So, festival this weekend. We're supposed to have good weather. The weather's supposed to go past us. We're not going to have any storms. The Hurricane Rena became a tropical storm, became a depression. I think she's gone and she's finished with us. The cold front's supposed to be moving through tonight and tomorrow, so the rain's going to pass through. It's going to be a gorgeous day out there at the winery. Love to see all of you or any of you come out and visit us. And if you do come out and you've heard the radio program, let me know. Always like to hear the people who have listened to the program. I'm sorry, my engineer just said something. What's that? Okay, well, she just mentioned you mentioned that you're listening to this on the program at the winery. We'll give you a BTR discount, Blog Talk Radio, All About Wine, Blog Talk Radio discount, 5% off of any purchase of any wine. Just mention that you heard it on the radio, 5%, which, it's every little bit helps. So just mention you heard us on Blog Talk Radio, and we will give you a discount. And we'll just keep that going all the time. That sounds like a good deal. I like to hear people that listen to the radio and you know, you always wonder if you're talking to yourself. So, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Mike couldn't join us, like I said earlier. He was working tonight, but we went ahead with the program, had a great conversation with Lisa. Again, Lisa, thank you very much. And we are going to be back next week with Ohio, heading up to the northern part of Ohio. Actually, it's a northeastern part where most of the wineries are in that area there. Quite a few of them left there, so I'll be trying to get a hold of them, trying to get some people on the program, and we will look forward to seeing you all come back and join us next week, or listen to us on the archives or whatever. We appreciate all that stuff, and we'll be talking to you next week. Thanks a lot for joining us. Have yourself a good evening, good weekend, and we'll be talking later. Bye.